We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukowski, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you as always from Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor in beautiful South St. Louis.
And Matt, on this episode of Wrestling with the Basics, I'd like to start by making a personal comment. Can I do that? Would that be all right?
Please do, John. Please.
Well, do you have an opportunity with your wife to walk any? Because I know you're busy, she's busy.
We try to. Well, we have a great neighborhood. There's a lot of dog walking in our neighborhood. It's a dog walking neighborhood, and us included. We have our little rat terrier, and if it works out, usually around dinner time. Even, you know, because sometimes we have evening obligations, so that's kind of our sweet spot, is to go out and take a walk together.
So Lynn and I have done this. We've done this for our whole marriage. So if anyone listening to us is around the St. Louis area, because you'll see us walking hand in hand in New Athens, my hometown, or we're up in Belleville, Fairview Heights, all over St. Louis. We've been walking, even in your neighborhood. Sometimes we're going, because it is, it's just a beautiful neighborhood to walk. But I noticed a peculiar thing as Lynn and I've been walking. I know, for example, there would be like a bunch of teenagers and they were standing around talking with each other. And then when Lynn and I would come walking towards them, they'd kind of scoot off to the side, kind of scoot away from us.
Oh,
and I would notice also that even adults, when we would be walking down the sidewalk, sometimes they would actually kind of step off the sidewalk and let us go on, pass on through. Or sometimes they'd even walk and go to the other side of the street. And I think we're intimidating people, Matt. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. The police were actually called on us at one time. Okay. So this is why I'm making the appeal. I know this is taking your breath away,
Is it your fault or Lynn's fault? That's what I'm trying to put together.
Well, I
who's
think
the intimidating
it's
one? Or is it together?
Thank you for asking. Cause it's the together. I think that's what it is.
Right? Okay.
When people see two septuagenarians walking hand in hand, I can see where that would be intimidating, especially after dark. You know, that could be kind of scary. And admittedly, you know, Lynn has this can of bear mace that she carries with her that has a 40-foot range, and she has been known to knock down full grown men with her purse. So maybe it is more Lynn than me, but I just want to say to people, please, if you see us, just come up and say hi. We are not dangerous, okay? And less provoked. we're perfectly harmless and less provoked, okay? So yeah.
Don't poke John and Lynn. Just leave them alone. Say hi. Go about your day.
Right. You might want to keep an arm's distance, but that's okay. You don't need to walk on the other side of the street. Oh, no, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of nice. People are yielding to you. That's kind of nice. Free range on the sidewalks and streets of St. Louis and New Athens and elsewhere.
They see these older people and they are just being respectful. I know that. Although the police story is true, we have a feed mill here in New Athens, and I'd got a phone call, and so we were just kind of pacing back and forth before their storage building, and someone called the police on us. They thought we were casing the joint.
You and Lynn.
Yeah. And so we're walking along and the police car comes up behind us. Well, of course, we know the policeman. Yeah. I don't know what they thought we were going to do. We were going to carry a big bag of dog food under our coats or something. But anyway, so please, people, again, if you see us, don't be worried. We won't hurt you. Okay. But at least I won't. All right. We got to have something better than this day. And I do. I have something really interesting I want to share with you, Matt.
Good.
Matthew 16. No, John 16. You're
okay.
Matthew. The gospel is John.
Okay, good. It was one of our names. Okay, John 16. Yeah,
somewhere in there. Because we've got this really touching story where Jesus is talking, having a conversation with his disciples one last time before, of course, they come and crucify him. And I can really identify with this story because there's so much he wants to tell his disciples, but they just can't understand it at this point, man. You haven't experienced this yet, but you're going to. We have had several grandchildren that have graduated from high school in these last couple of years. And so much I want to go and I want to talk to them about what it is to be an adult and talk to them about that you want a job that you can use the abilities God has given you, that you can get married and raise a family. But frankly, at this point, that they don't have enough experience. They don't have enough education. They're lucky to get a job at McDonald's. So I don't know if they can really understand that whole concept of vocation because mm-hmm. It's not accessible to them yet. I would like to talk to them about finding that special person that they want to devote themselves to, about having children. But on the other hand, I'm thinking maybe I don't want to talk to them about that because, no, I don't want them to get married now. I mean, see, your son is a little older, and that's good. We're excited about that. And, of course, once Noah does get married, having babies, that's a good thing. You'll be looking for the grandchildren. But my grandkids are too young for that. No, we don't want to be doing that yet. And that's the problem Jesus has. And I think it's kind of interesting how he addresses this. Man, what's going to happen to these guys before the night's over?
Yeah, well, I know. They're going to flee. They're going to run away. Peter's going to deny even knowing Jesus. They're going to fall asleep and he wants them to stay awake. It's not going to be good. They're going to fail. Yeah,
so how do you tell people that? How do you tell people, oh, man, you're going to make a total mess of this? How do you tell people who have given their whole lives to you, right? Because that's what they did. They left everything to follow Jesus. That in the next 24 hours, it's going to seem like all hell has gone loose. And everything that you've hoped for is going to disappear right before your eyes in an act of violence, crucifixion. Even some of them will hear Jesus cry out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And then it dawned on me, you know, I think Jesus has the same problem with us. I think there are things that we just can't understand. And I think he wrestles with, well, how can he help us? Because I don't know why I've got cancer. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm thinking probably Jesus can explain it to me. I wouldn't be able to understand it. Or maybe I'd be frightened if I actually knew the reason I have cancer at this point. And certainly that's the thing. I worry about my grandkids having babies too young, but I suppose Jesus was worried what his disciples would do if they really understood, because they were already gathering swords and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, the last thing he wants them to do, is think they need to mount an armed defense for him, because then they'll all end up dying with him, which is the last thing he wants to have. Well, anyway, if we'll read Matthew 23, I think he has a couple of really powerful things to say to people who don't understand what God's doing in their life at this moment. Okay.
Yeah, good. So, good. Because like you said, that's not just the disciples, but that's us, Jesus' disciples today too. When we don't understand. And I think too, when you read this, just the sense of urgency too, John, that you kind of brought up, you know, what do you really want to tell your grandkids, right? And it's Jesus, what does he really want to tell his disciples? You know, with the final moments that he has with them, this quiet time that's set apart with just him and his disciples, what does he want to convey to them? And here we get to listen in on this conversation, which I think is pretty cool. And if Jesus is, you know, using his final hours to express this to his disciples, it must be pretty important.
So if you wouldn't mind, let's start with verse 23, Matthew 16, verse 23, Matt.
Okay. John 16, though, right?
Why do I keep saying Matthew?
That's okay. Yes, we know what you mean. Right.
You know what I mean.
That's right.
All right.
So John 16, verse 23. Okay. Jesus says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full.
Okay. Now, the first thing here's where the English kind of messes up, because the first thing he says to us is that in the day you will ask nothing of me. And then there's a whole bunch of other asks after that as well.
Yes.
But the thing is, the ask here is not the same word. in the Greek. Okay. This is not a prayer kind of word where you want God to do something for you. This is more like the Google word. You're looking for information. You're looking for clarification. Okay. So we do ask Google, but I'm not asking Google to give me anything. I just want something. And so that's what he's saying. He said, the time will come when you won't ask me for clarification. If I could give you an example of what he's talking about. Okay. How flexible are you? You got your paper Bible, so you're pretty flexible, aren't you? You can go up and down the chapter. I have to scroll if I'm looking for another verse, because I'd like you to read 16:16, if you would. Verse 16:16 of John.
You bet. Jesus says, a little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while and you will see me.
All right. So maybe I better make a point here before we go any further. Since Jesus can't speak directly to the disciples about these issues, because he knew they won't comprehend him, or if they do comprehend him, they'll do something stupid. The word that's used here in this chapter is the word figure of speech. Okay?
Yeah.
Although a better translation, Matt, would be proverb. In fact, if you go to the Old Testament, it is the word that is used for the title of that book. The Proverbs. Yeah, it's the same word. And so here's a proverb that he gives him. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while you will see me. See, that's the proverb. But if you would read verse 18 for us, Matt.
Sure. Let's see. Verse 18, Jesus, it goes on to say, so they were asking, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about.
And there you go. Thank you. They were what? They were asking. See, that's the same word we have here. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, the time will come when you won't have to ask me to clarify these things, because you'll just understand them. You'll know them perfectly. So Matt, have you ever had an experience in your life where you just didn't really know what God was doing, and then later on you look back and it began to make sense? Or have you not been around long enough to have those kind of experiences? Because you are Matt Youngblood, Clark, although you're getting older every day.
I think, John, I think, too, as a pastor calls in the ministry, right? You receive a call to a congregation, and I've, accepted the call to serve your ascension almost 12 years ago now, right? And you look back and you think, God was at work in that. God knew what he was doing and calling me here. And yeah, there's different gifts that God's given that suits this particular congregation well. And you see God's hand at work, because I think initially when you accept that call, is it going to be a good fit? Can God use me in this place? Certainly he can. And to be able to look back and see ways in which he's done that has been, it's a great comfort.
Yeah, and thank you, man, because that's a perfect example. So for me, it was when my wife died.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I couldn't figure out, why would he have taken Jan away from me? But now 20 years later, I look back on that, and I don't know that I understand it completely, but there are some things I do understand. I understand now that every day that she lived was a day of pain for her. And I can see, all right. There comes a time, I guess, when even the people we love and that we don't want to be separated from, that they need to go to the Lord. They just need to. That's what has to happen. I also understand at this point that there was somebody else that God was concerned about. Another woman who was also having a lot of struggles and trials, and that's the woman I ended up marrying, Lynn. And I can say, that was a blessing. Okay. So I think we look back and we begin to see things. So anybody out there that doesn't really understand what's going on right now, you will understand. Now, if not in this lifetime, because right, Paul says, now we see through a mirror dimly, but then we will see clearly. But I mean, that is the promise. But when you get to the end, because he says everything works together for our good. I don't know how it works together for our good at this point, but I trust when I get to heaven, I'll see, this was all part of God's plan to bless me and bless the people around us. So any other thoughts about that, Matt? And then I'll share with you the second kind of good advice that Jesus gives to people who don't understand what's going on. Any other?
Yeah, no, those are the verses that came to mind too, that we see but through a mirror dimly, right? Yeah. Then we shall know even as we are fully known. I think that's so beautiful. That, yeah, in heaven, things will be revealed to us. How much will we care about that still in heaven? I don't know.
Yeah.
but yeah, this fuller knowledge that we have in heaven and yeah, certainly the resurrection and Jesus' presence. But for now, right, it's a walk of faith that, yeah, God is working all things for my good. That's his promise. That's what we hold on to.
So if you reread verse 24, because I think there's another bit of advice he gives us here in verse 24.
Okay. Verse 24, Jesus goes on to say, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full.
And again, this is a total different word for ask. This isn't the inquiry, the clarification. This is the prayer word. I want something. God, please help me with it. These are my needs. I'm praying to you. And I think that's the second bit of advice that God gives us. If you're going through something right now that you just don't understand, pray about it, okay? Go to God about it. Ask him for his help. When my first wife died, I asked in that sense. I said, God, I just don't know what to do. I am so incredibly lonely. I have never, never felt loneliness like this. And God answered my prayer. And I did have, what was it? The my joy was full as he led me to find this woman, Lynn. So yeah, that would be my advice. Even if you don't understand, you can still pray. You can still pray. Although again, I would remind people that it doesn't mean that the understanding and the answer will come immediately. It did come pretty quickly for me, but Lynn said she prayed for almost 9 years, Matt, before God gave her someone who would love and care for her. So I think we need to remember that sometimes. And it's probably, you were talking about your call, it's a matter of timing. That there needs to be certain things in place before God can give us what he really wants to give us. So I don't know, any comments you have about that, man? I just thought that was the second thing that
And it's God's timing and not ours. And I think that's so important too, because sometimes we think we know the right timetable, but no, it's in God's hands. And that's not easy sometimes to have that trust. So Jesus talks here about asking, and asking in his name, asking you to receive that your joy may be full. So just, it almost gets confusing here, John. These verses, asking and in the Father's name and Jesus' name, praying to the Father. So, how do we do that? What does that look like in our prayer life when we ask in Jesus' name? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you what, Matt, we're about to run out of time. I hate to carry this over into another episode because I know you have some exciting things you want to talk to us about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But maybe we should do that because you've raised a really good question. In fact, if you could read as a conclusion, John 16, 26 through 27, and then we'll explain those at the beginning of next week's episode and get on with the things we want to talk about in Revelation. But as we conclude this, could you read again John 16, 26 through 27?
Well, yeah, I think we have more time though, John. Don't we have 10 more minutes?
Oh, yes, we do. yeah, we have plenty of time then, Matt. Thank you.
We're just talking about our timing, and God's timing, and there's also KFUO's timing, and according to KFUO.
It's 28 minutes, isn't it? Not 18. All right. Well, then still read 26 through 27, and we'll answer your question about what it means to pray in the name of Jesus.
Well, this is nice. We don't have to wait a whole week. We get to find out right now, so even better.
But you still want to listen next week to hear the stuff about Revelation. So go ahead. 26 through 27.
All right. Here we go. Jesus says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father.
So
important stuff, but boy, it is almost like a tongue twister, John, when you read through those verses.
So here's my excuse. I've been getting this radiation therapy. I think they've been shooting my head instead of my prostate.
Tell them to re-aim that.
Tell them to re-aim it. You're missing. No, don't hit my brain. Here's the thing about that verse that really strikes me. He says, I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. I repeat, I do not say to you that I will ask the Father. And I thought that's what he was supposed to do, right?
Yeah, this little in the name intercessor.
Of, yeah, when we pray in the name of Jesus, he's supposed to take our petitions to the Father. But he says precisely, that isn't what I'm going to do. And see, here's, I realize we've had a misunderstanding about praying in the name of Jesus. I love my Catholic friends, okay? They're going to be in heaven with us. So I'm not trying to pick on the Catholics, but admittedly, they do have this rather strange teaching that you and I are so sinful, we cannot go directly to God, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I believe that. We are too sinful to come into the presence of the holy, almighty creator of the universe. In fact, they say we can't even come into Jesus' presence.
Yeah.
So you got to pray to the saints or pray to Mary, have an intermediary. But I realized, no, that's not what it is with Jesus. No, we don't go to Jesus and say, Jesus, could you talk to the Father? No, Jesus says you can go directly to the Father. Isn't that how he said to pray? He didn't say, talk to me and then I'll talk to Dad. He says, no, you pray, our Father. See, our Father. In the name of Jesus is to say, I believe that Jesus has taken care of anything that could possibly have separated me from God. All my sins, all my doubts, you name it, whatever might have kept me away from the Father, that's all been taken care of when he suffered and died on the cross. So there's nothing that keeps, well, in fact, Hebrews says that we can walk to the throne with confidence, it says, see? So that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus, to pray in faith, that in Christ, and I wouldn't dare do it without Christ, that's for sure, but in Christ, I go right up to God and I say, God, here's my concerns and my needs. And read verse 27. Here's the reason you know you can do this. Verse 27. Yeah. Just the first part of the verse.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God.
Yeah, see, so there it is. It's because of our faith in Jesus. But here's the other thing that really tickled me. The Father loves you. What you know the different words for love in the Bible.
Yeah.
What word would you have expected to be there?
Agape, probably, John. That's what I would expect, at least.
But guess what? It's not agape. It's plus.
Okay.
Isn't that incredible?
Interesting.
And I love that, though. It's not to say God doesn't agape us. Of course he does. John 3:16, for God so agape is the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that whoever believes in him might not perish, but everlasting life. Of course, he has that kind of agape for everybody. But for us in particular, for those who are his baptized children, he also has this philos, this love of family, this love of friend. I like that thought. Truly, when I'm feeling guilty and when I have my doubts, it's so good to know, well, God has agape me. But sometimes when I'm just struggling because I got this stupid cancer treatment going on, it's just nice to know I have a friend that I can go, or well, even better, that I have a father who loves me that I can go to. So I just thought that was really kind of a cool little insight that Jesus gives us there about prayer. Any other thoughts or comments about that, man? Do you agree with me? Because that does sound a little bit radical. But is that what it means to pray in the name of Jesus? I'm not saying he's not our intercessor.
Yeah, I would
There's certainly times where he goes and says, God, treat these people with mercy. But.
Definitely. But, exactly. Faith in Jesus, like you said, John, I think is the key thing. And I think that it also, you know, you mentioned, you know, Roman Catholics and other denominations that, you know, Roman Catholics in particular, that, you know, they have a different understanding, perhaps, of how we come to the Father. But I would even throw in other religions, right? You know, because sometimes we hear about, well, you know, we Christians pray and, you know, Muslims pray, and it's all kind of, let's all kind of just go into the same place. You know, whether you're praying as a Christian or praying as a Muslim, you're still praying to this God, whether you call him Allah, whether you call him the Father or whatever. And I think this is one of the verses that says, well, no, that's not the case, right? That no, we pray in Jesus' name. And what that means is, like you said, with faith in Jesus Christ. And so no prayer, not all prayers are the same. That prayer in Jesus' name, a prayer prayed to the Father who loves us and that we can directly pray to him. That's distinct. That's That's something for us as Christian people. And I like how Jesus says that the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I came from God. And so for us who love Jesus, who believe that Jesus, he's the Son of God, he came from God, we have the privilege of coming to the Lord in prayer. And that's a beautiful gift. And that's a gift that is unique to us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ.
And I think that's a gift. See, it goes back to, for God so agape the world. That is a gift that he wants the whole world to know, right? But you're right. That's the great blessing we have as Christians. There's no reason why we should ever question God's desire to hear and answer our prayers. That's what it is to pray in the name of Jesus. And so then this concludes with one last really great word of comfort for people who don't understand what's going on in their lives. And certainly the disciples won't understand in the next few hours. If you could, here's his last words to them. And then he prays for them after this, if you read
on. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? Yeah.
But we're not dealing with that. Here's his last words, though, 16:33.
Yeah. I've said these things to you that you may be, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
So we have another proverb. We have another proverb. And like all proverbs, if you haven't had the right experiences, you won't understand them. There was another proverb that I wanted to talk about. I forgot. Jesus tells us the proverb about the woman who gives birth. You know that proverb, don't you? She gives birth and she's in terrible pain. But once the child comes, well, then it's replaced with a joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, that proverb wouldn't mean anything at that point, would it? But later on, I think probably Easter morning, it's, oh, now I understand the proverb about the woman giving birth. Yeah, we went through a great deal of pain, but now we see the joy that Jesus has risen. And the same way with here, I hope, in fact, it is my hope, Matt, that most of our listeners aren't having any tribulation right now. I hope their lives are hunky-dory. Do people still say hunky-dory?
Hunky-dory.
I don't know. But you know what I mean. I hope their lives are going good. That's what we pray.
Definitely, John. Yeah, I know what hunky-dory.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners, I hope they don't have any tribulations. I hope their life is fine.
Yes.
And therefore, this parable doesn't mean anything to them. But if there is anybody out there that is having tribulation, what a beautiful parable this is. Because two things. Number one, well, of course you have tribulation. You're in the world, right? What do you expect? Yeah. You're God's child in a world where Satan is prince and a world that is corrupted by sin. So if you have tribulation, don't be surprised. But don't you love that beautiful promise? I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Because I find my problem when I have tribulations, I think I need to overcome the tribulation. I need to understand what's going on. And actually, I don't need either of those things. I just need to remember Christ is going to overcome whatever it is that I'm struggling with. In fact, I suppose you could say he has already overcome what I'm struggling with. Matt, any final comments?
Yeah. No, I think this is a beautiful message, John. As we have those uncertainties in our life, there's one thing that is certain. Jesus says it. I have overcome the world. Yeah. Beautiful. So, we can hold on to that.
So thank you for listening to us. This has been Wrestling with the Basics. Next week, we will do Revelation. God bless you.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.